Welcome to this week's Lax Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network. This is Marissa and Jemmy here from inlacrossewetrust.com bringing you this week's podcast. And the show is really loaded up tonight. We have five guests on. We have our Baltimore League players, as always. We have Garrett Ince, we have Tyler Midwinter, and we also have Will Harrington, who's also played in Major League Lacrosse and the National Lacrosse League. We have Larry Fila, who's a commissioner of the Baltimore League and also has founded the Junior Baltimore League. So we'll have some junior American box lacrosse talk. And we also have former Philadelphia Wings player Tom Maircheck on to discuss the state of the game in the United States and also about his new project that will help improve the sport in Baltimore. And we also are going to discuss a few things as far as NLL transactions, as always. And just the latest news. I mean, training camps are very, very soon. A lot of things are coming up, actually. Fall ball is almost over. There's a few fall ball events this upcoming week. This past week was the Colorado Lacrosse Showcase. Denver Pioneers beat the Denver Outlaws. And also the SeaTown Classic in Seattle, where Team USA beat Notre Dame. And we actually will have some audio for you from the coaches of USA and of Notre Dame. We'll also have Kyle Hartzell's audio right here. And we'll have it on the website as well, so you'll want to check that out. We had Pete Crowley on scene reporting on that. He's our Vancouver sales writer, and he's based out in Washington State. Some other events coming up soon. November 7th and November 8th is the Team USA tryouts for the indoor team. It's going to be in New Jersey, and we've obviously talked a lot about this. They've started their invites. They're going to invite a few people who register. So far, so good. It looks like, just from what I've heard, a lot of very good players are being invited to camp, so can't complain yet. We'll see what happens and what happens next in the saga that is American indoor lacrosse. Training camps coming up in the NLL. November 14th is the first camp. It's rookie and free agent camp for the New England Black Wolves. And they're inviting a lot of American players. There's no official list, but just from what I've heard and who I've spoken with, a lot of Vermont Voyagers guys, a lot of guys you've seen in the NALL, and even some Baltimore League players. So that's interesting. And they'll have their actual regular training camp the 15th and 16th as well. After that, the other camps open. Toronto's already announced three preseason games. Rochester and Minnesota have a game. It's going to be a game in Montreal. We're going to discuss all of that. We're going to go to a quick commercial, and by commercial I mean a quick audio clip that takes a break into recording. And then we're going to talk to Larry Fila and Tom Maircheck. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the latest pro lacrosse news, and then we'll have some of the players from the Baltimore League, and after that we'll wrap it up with some SeaTown Classic stuff and the end rant. So thanks for listening once again to the Lax Live Radio podcast, and we'll be right back.
This is Nick Rose of the Toronto Rock, and you're listening to the La Crosse Radio Network.
Back here on Lax Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network. Joining me now is Larry Fila from the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. Larry, thank you for joining us.
Marissa, thank you for having us on. I really appreciate all the help and support you've given us this year.
No problem. Thanks for setting up most of the content for the show so far with the guests and everything. So we've been obviously talking a lot about the Baltimore League on the show the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of players on. We have more players coming on later. Can you just talk to me a little bit about the vision for the Baltimore League and what you envision it becoming? Because it seems like it's growing very fast.
We're very excited about the bill. We're having an amazing season. The league itself is in its 29th year, but we've never really had a presence before, so we're really trying to get the word out of what we're doing at the bill. We want to play very high quality and high level lacrosse and grow the box game. And I feel that, you know, the time is really right that we're kind of having a box revolution going on here in the United States. And box is growing. There's a lot of buzz about it. And we're feeling that in our league this year, we've had a lot of new guys come out. A lot of good quality college guys came out this summer and played. We had kids from Lionstone, Salisbury, Towson, George Mason. So, you know, it was really good seeing them get excited about playing box lacrosse. A lot of them went back. You know, we're still in school in the fall, but we picked up a whole new team out of our summer league with in short productivity. And those guys have really grown. I've seen a lot of growth with them. I know they don't have a win, but watching some of their games, you wouldn't know that, you know, they were down by, you know, only two goals to start or something like that. They've played very well and are growing. So we're very excited about, you know, having those new people win, and our veterans that have been with us for a lot of years are really helping everybody come along.
One thing that seems very unique about the league is you'll have players who play in the NLL and are superstars there, like Jordan Hall, and then you'll have college kids who never played box lacrosse before and they're competing on the same level.
No, it's very unique, and where else would some players have opportunities to play with caliber of lacrosse player? That's one thing that's been very unique in our league that we've had. We've had Baltimore City top teams playing against the Gates, you know, and just great players that have played in our league over the year, Dave Petromala, you know, Clausen, and all those guys, and, you know, you just don't see that too often. And it gives guys an opportunity to step up and learn from them. I mean, they're watching and learning from these guys, so it's a neat situation.
And you're starting something kind of revolutionary with indoor lacrosse now. You're starting the Junior Bill, which will be, as far as I know, one of the first American indoor lacrosse junior leagues that's out there. Can you talk to us a little bit about what's going on with that league and what kind of impact it's going to have?
Well, we're really excited about the Junior Bill. We've been working on this for a while. We're going to go U13, U15 in the high school levels, and this is going to be a true box lacrosse league. We're working with our box refs. We have a full-size rink. We have the shot clocks. We've had all the experience of how to run a box league. And, you know, we're really excited to announce that Tom Maracek's All-Pro Lacrosse is actually the first team in the league, and they're going to be entering teams at each level. So we're really excited about having Tommy and his group of All-Pro Lacrosse on board, and we have about five more slots in each age group. So we're talking to other coaches and people in the club levels that want to get involved in this league. So we feel it's time. It's, again, that box revolution, and we're seeing more and more of that happening, and seeing the kids get excited about playing box, and we're going to take it to the next level.
You had mentioned that this is the 29th season of the league. What do you think had worked for the league to be able to sustain itself for this long? I mean, 29 years, that's around as long as the National Lacrosse League has been around.
I commissioners over the years and the people involved, and there's a lot of people behind the scenes that volunteer time, effort, energy to help take care of the league. And, you know, these are guys that have a definite interest in the box game and growing the box here in Baltimore. So, you know, the league has been very fortunate to have great leaders over the years, and it's been able to sustain itself, and I hope I can keep that tradition going and we can go to the next level and introducing the Junior Bill. And we're also in the process right now, we'll be releasing a tournament very shortly.
And now it's last question here with games coming up this week as well, tomorrow night. What's coming next for the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League? It seems like there's new announcements every day and more news coming almost by the hour at this point with the Junior League and all the games coming up.
We have some exciting games. I look forward to every Tuesday night. I'm really getting a chance to watch. I'm keeping stats. I'm very being able to watch the whole entire game, and I just enjoy the level of play that's going on. So we have a rematch tomorrow with the that should be a very good matchup, and I'm always, you know, interested in seeing how Insure is going to grow to the next level and how they're getting through the learning curve. They're going to have another, you know, tough game against the First Mariner, who have just, you know, they've been a sleeper team all season. They're a very smart team, good ball players, and, you know, so they're going to really have a challenge on their hands with First Mariner, and they've been hot for the last three games, so I'm looking forward to watching everybody play tomorrow night.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for joining us here on the show, and thank you for all you've done for the box game. It's been terrific to watch and follow the Baltimore League this year.
Well, thank you, Marissa. I appreciate it, and thank you again for everything that you're doing, not only for the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League, but for box in general. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Sure.
Now, here on LAX Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network, here with Tom Maracek. Tom, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. First, I want to talk to you about a little bit of the youth box lacrosse you're running. Can you tell us a little bit about your program and what's going on with it?
Well, actually, it started back, I thought about it back this summer when I was home in Victoria, British Columbia. Division One lacrosse is all about now. So, and I just started this, and it's going to be at the Nerd Center starting in 2 weeks, and we're going to run it for 6 weeks every Thursday and Sunday from the age groups, 3rd grade through 12th grade. So I'm excited to run this all-pro indoor box lacrosse.
Yeah, it's exciting to see more box programs showing up in the States, especially at the youth level. Why do you think no one's really started anything like this? Because it always seems like there's not as much box lacrosse at the youth level or even much until the professional level at all.
I just think just the knowledge, you know, nobody really has the knowledge, I think, to really start something like this. And, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, I played for the Philadelphia Wings for 13 years in the National Lacrosse League, and my love for the game is box lacrosse. I think it's probably the most fun I've ever had as a kid growing up. It's just a fast two-way game. You know, I played offense, defense as a kid growing up, 30-second shot clock, and it's more of a basketball-style game. It's just people in America never really grew up like I did in Canada playing the game, so that's probably why they never started anything like that in this area. So I think I'm here to bring that and show people that, you know what, this game's going to improve their outdoor game immensely, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and it's great because it seems like with a lot of these American leagues that have come around and the lack of American players in the NLL right now have come from kids aren't playing box lacrosse, and there really hasn't been the opportunity to in the States. And you're seeing now, too, in college lacrosse, you're seeing a lot of these successful teams. A lot of their top players are Canadian, and they're coming from Canada with a box lacrosse background. So it seems like in the field lacrosse level, playing box has become an essential part to improving your game as well.
Yeah, it really has. All of our success, obviously, a lot of people know I grew up with Gary and Paul Gate playing since we were 13 years old together, winning many Canadian lacrosse championships and box lacrosse. That just gave us a little bit slight edge and an advantage to go play in the NCAA for Syracuse. A lot of box lacrosse now is helping the kids. Obviously, the stick work, the pick and rolls, up and down, you know, down the floor, dream passing in confined areas, actually making everybody more comfortable and more confident with your stick work is going to obviously, you know, explode once they get on the outdoor field. It just makes everybody better and more confident, and that's why I think watching my nephew play this summer, you know, it brought back memories as when I was a kid, and I'm excited to coach the American kids, and I think once we start, I think everybody's going to catch on to what I'm doing, and hopefully it'll be a success, and everybody knows that box lacrosse is going to make them better, you know, field lacrosse players.
Hopefully. I mean, you see leagues like the NLL, Philadelphia just moved, there haven't been a team in Baltimore for a while, so these Mid-Atlantic, East Coast teams, New England have a team now, but Boston left. Do you think the presence of having American players can even help a professional level stick around in some of these areas that really are lacrosse hotbeds? I mean, Philadelphia is known as one of the better lacrosse areas in the country, yet they lost their box lacrosse team. So do you think having more of an American presence with the box game could even benefit leagues like this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of the great players in college, NCAA, top one, you know, Division One level, even 2 and 3, I just think that, you know, I always looked at American kids, especially in this area in Baltimore, being really good athletes. You know, there's very, very good athletes, especially now with the strength and conditioning part of every college. You know, I think every Division I college coach pretty much makes it mandatory for every kid to be in the gym and just get stronger and faster. And with the stick work and stick skills with the box lacrosse, you know, it's going to make them better too. And American players are keeping the league going, the National Lacrosse League, yes, to answer your question. More and more American kids are playing box lacrosse. But I'm just bringing I'm bringing the real box lacrosse game here with 4x4.5 goals, real indoor goalies, which really is the first time that area here in Baltimore has really seen it, so I'm excited about that part. And I'm going to do my best with my coaching staff that I put together to make it happen and make it work. And I think everybody will catch on once they see what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's great because we really do need it. And last question before I let you go here. What do you see, what do you project 5-10 years down the road with what you're doing and the success maybe it can create for American indoor lacrosse?
I think the biggest thing I'm trying to put out there and preach is to really have the kids understand the importance of having a very good stick. You know, stick work is a lot. People think, well, if you're fast, you're a good athlete, you're going to succeed and just move on and play professional lacrosse. So, you don't have to be the fastest, you don't have to be the biggest, you don't have to be the strongest, play box across. And I just want to basically hammer that to these kids, that if you have a good work ethic and your stick work is sound, it's gonna, that's the first step in the door to get a Division I, you know, scholarship or two or three to play at the top level. So that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest reason why I'm doing that. You know, being a coach at Friends School here in Baltimore, I'm having all my friends' varsity team join this indoor box across to make them better. And that's all. Basically, that's it in a nutshell. I'm just trying to make these kids better and make them more confident.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining the show. And also thank you for what you're doing for the sport of American indoor lacrosse. We need more innovative things to help improve the sport here.
Well, thank you very much, Marissa, and good luck to the bill, and I know that, you know, I'll be helping you guys as well, doing some commentating and move forward from that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Marissa.
This is Curtis Knight of the Edmonton Rush, and you are listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.
Here on Lax Live Radio, we're going to get to some of the player interviews shortly. Just a couple of news and notes, and a lot of the stuff you can find on in lacrossewetrust.com. We have a lot of coverage of everything, but just some interesting news going around. Buffalo made a few signings today. They signed their first pick in the draft, Brandon Goodwin. He was actually a second-round pick. He's who they drafted with the pick they acquired for Eric Penny and Rory Smith in that trade with Vancouver on draft day. They also signed a goaltender, Vance Rigneault, who played with Burlington Chiefs in Junior B. This was an interesting draft for goalies. I think I talked about it before. Three goalies got selected, and there were a few others that are not bad at all. So it's, or I believe it was actually four goalies must have been selected. But it's interesting. Rigneault, he's the fourth goalie, I believe, that's going to be in that Buffalo camp with Anthony Cosmo, Curtis Wagar, who's been the backup, Dave DiRuccio, who played with the Peterborough Lakers a little bit in Major Series Lacrosse, and he also played in the Canadian Lacrosse League, where he won Goaltender of the Year. He's good. He could win that backup job. So it's interesting to see Vigneault in there now. As far as goaltending depth goes, they did trade Penny, so I guess that's where that move comes in. A couple other news and notes. Minnesota made a few interesting signings. They signed Nick Cotter. Do you remember him? He played for Buffalo Bandits, and he was actually a pretty good player with the Boston Blazers. And I remember that because I covered the Blazers pretty extensively, so I found that rather interesting that Cotter is now a part of that team. They also had Marcus Hallman, who's a guy who, as far as I know, has never played box lacrosse. He actually played for USA over the summer. He played for the Ohio Machine, and he played for USA at the SeaTown Classic this past weekend. So, Minnesota making moves. I don't expect many more moves from them. I was told that they have their camp roster set. So Minnesota, they're always an interesting team. So let's keep your eyes on them. Good news, not so good news for Vancouver this week. They signed Johnny Paulus to a 2-year deal. And boy, are they really promoting Paulus in Vancouver. And they're doing such a good job with that too. I mean, he's really been out of the community. And Vancouver has had the best player marketing push I've seen in the NLL in a very long time. The bad news is Kyle Sorensen, their captain and top defender, who missed a lot of time last year, he's going to be out for the entire season, it sounds like, with a knee injury. He's having surgery this month. He's going to miss the whole year. And they might not have Matt Beers either, apparently, who might get a job at a fire department in British Columbia, according to the province. So we'll see what happens there, because all of a sudden Vancouver's defense, which looked really deep, might decimate a bit, which It's a good thing they signed Rory Smith, or they traded for him. It's a good thing Tim Henderson's going to be back. It's a good thing Chris O'Dowdery is going to be back from injury. Few more quick notes. Dane Doby signed a 4-year deal with Calgary. And NHL fans, they know who Dane Doby is, but I almost feel like it's he's kind of overlooked almost. I mean, he's potentially a really fantastic player. So I think that we should keep our eyes on Dane Doby again. I think he led the league in goals last year. He had a lot of points, I know that. So interesting with Doby, he's going to be locked up long term. That is such a deep Calgary offense, and it always really is. Two more notes here. Eric Waugh is going to miss the start of 2015. He was a practice player with Toronto last year. He became a restricted free agent after he finished a year on the practice roster. That's how it works. Signed with the Colorado Mammoths. He played for the Junior Mammoths. He played for the Denver Outlaws. So he's going to potentially make that team, but he's going to miss the start of the year. And lastly, I'm going to cover the New England Black Wolves a lot, so I talk about them quite a bit. They are really making a push for restricted free agents like I've never seen before. It's really fascinating because, first of all, they traded for Mike McNamara, who's a restricted free agent. They signed him. They tried to get Stephen Keough, who eventually signed a 4-year deal in Rochester. And then they went and tried to take defenseman Drew Petkoff, who's RFA. He hasn't actually played much the last couple of years. But Buffalo is keeping him. And it's a good thing they are, because remember, they lost Hayden Smith, so Petkoff is going to kind of take over that role he had probably. So Buffalo's keeping him. But New England, they're really trying for restricted free agents, and it's interesting. And their camp roster is interesting, too. So that team's going to be fascinating to watch, their process, to say the least. We're going to come back and have some player interviews from the Baltimore League, including Will Harrington, who's played at the pro level. We'll have Tyler Midwinter, who's played up in Canada with Selax, and Garrett Ince as well, who played for the Rebel team at 4-1. After that, we're going to wrap it up with some C-Town Classic interviews and audio, so make sure you keep listening for that. And as always, thanks for listening to Lax Live.
This is Kyle Sorensen, the Washington Stealth, and you're listening to the La Crosse Radio Network.
Now here on the podcast with Will Harrington from the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. Will, thank you for joining the show. So, first things first, can you tell me a little bit about the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League and what it's like to play in a league like this?
So the league has been around for a time. I've been lucky enough to play in it the last couple of years. It was kind of my introduction to indoor lacrosse. A lot of Americans not getting a chance to play. It's a good place for a lot of guys that either play professionally or have played professionally in the past from the area play. It's a great place for guys who are familiar with the outdoor game. It's a good place for them to come and learn from guys who have played for a long time, guys like Sean Nadlin, who have, been staples in professional indoor lacrosse, and you know, really learn the basics from those guys.
And what's it like playing in a league like this? I mean, you've had some experience in Major League Lacrosse and with the Philadelphia Wings. What do you notice as the big differences as far as the level of play goes?
They still have the same intensity that you would see at the next level, but I think the skills aren't exactly there for everyone. I think you miss the speed of the game because you know, as people are used to playing, learning about work, you have some people that still try and play it like the outdoor thing. So I think there's a learning curve there, but I feel like each year that it's more and more become groups of guys who understand the game and become a more competitive league all around.
And one thing the Baltimore League is starting to do, they're going to have the Junior League, and there's a few more youth indoor lacrosse leagues that are popping up, especially around the Baltimore area. And you mentioned earlier, it is true, American players don't get as many opportunities as like Canadian players do in the box lacrosse professional league, the NLL. And now there are no American indoor lacrosse leagues either, with the NALL and the PLL folding as well. What do you think is the next major step for American indoor lacrosse to grow in the States?
Trying to do is what's necessary. I think, getting kids to learn the game younger, and that's in terms of learning lacrosse younger, but learning indoor lacrosse younger, it's a totally different game. Equipment and skills are similar indoor and outdoor, but really they're totally different games. You're getting kids early, learning how the game works and how to play indoor as opposed to outdoor, because they're so different, is, I think, instrumental in improving the knowledge of the game for American players.
And, of course, the indoor Team USA team, those tryouts are coming up as well, so that will be interesting, I think, almost as a measurement stick as to where the game is right now, with which players are making the team and all of that. As an American player yourself, you've been to NLL training camps and you've been with the Philadelphia Wings. What's their process like coming into a team? I mean, Philadelphia had more American players than other teams typically did, but what's that like being a player who is newer to the box game and being involved in a league at that kind of level?
Yeah, I think you have the ability to learn in those situations. Going up to Wings training camp, I'd never played indoor before, so it was, the quick learning process for me, but I think the people that you see doing really well who didn't have a lot of box experience coming into it, guys who played the Wings, Chad Wiedmeyer, Tucker Durkin, those kinds of guys that are great field players who are quick to pick up quickly. Those are the guys that being able to sell in game without the kind of training that's necessary. I think to be able to listen to guys who have played their whole lives and, really listen to them that you can physically.
And now, last question here. This week, you're on the Parrot roster, and you guys are playing Rebel this week. Rebel was a team that was undefeated until last week. What kind of a challenge is that game going to be?
It's fun playing those guys. And we always have a great game. I don't think we've had a single game, including this year and last year, that hasn't either come down to one goal or overtime. So I'm looking forward to it. I always love getting out there and playing a competitive game. And, it's always a tough, hard game, but it's never a dirty game with those guys. Everyone plays hard, and it's a good, clean, fun game. So, really looking forward to it.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and good luck this week.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
Now back here on LAX Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network with Garrett Ince from the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. Garrett, thank you for joining us.
Oh, no problem.
So, Garrett, first, can you tell us a little bit about the Baltimore League and what it's like playing in it?
Well, it's generally guys that have played college fields and or have some box experience. It's usually a pretty elite level. I myself, 26 years old, I played lacrosse at EVA and actually grew up playing box lacrosse my whole life in Canada. So level plays pretty high. It's something that I travel up from D.C. to play, and it's just really fun to play with a bunch of talented lacrosse players.
One thing about the league that I've always found interesting is the fact that it's such a diverse group of players. There are players who have played box up in Canada like yourself a lot. There's players where it's their first experience playing box lacrosse ever. What's it like to play in a league with that kind of diversity? Do you think it impacts the game? And if so, how does it change the way it's played?
Well, obviously, I grew up playing a very authentic style of box lacrosse in Canada. A lot of the guys that play are obviously primarily skill players that definitely need a little bit of direction or coaching as far as how to utilize the small box field, the small net, how to play offense and defense and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun just because the way that I was brought up from box to go play college field lacrosse, I was usually the one that didn't know what was going on and needed a lot of coaching up myself. So it's pretty fun to have all the Americans play box and kind of show them the ropes and show them that side of the game.
And you play on Rebel, which has been a very successful team this season. Won their first few games of the year. Just got their first loss last week. There's a lot of very experienced and very good players on that team. What's it like to play on the Rebel team?
Well, just as you said, there are some certain really good players, obviously playing with Jordan Hall, who's my other lefty on the offensive side of the floor. Pretty special experience. Obviously, he has a pretty illustrious box career, and he's also a world champion at Phil Lacrosse this past summer. Also, having Jimmy between the pipes and net is pretty awesome as well. Obviously, you think about back to she's a girl and what she's able to accomplish. And most nights she's generally our MVP with 30 saves or more. So she's obviously very lucky to have. And as well, obviously there's some older guys, and they bring a lot of knowledge to the game as well. And I just feel like our dynamic is pretty strong. Obviously, we lost our last game, but not having Jordan Hall in the lineup hurt us quite a bit.
And this week, you guys are playing Parrot, and they've also had a pretty good season. They're 3-2, and they started the season red hot. What's that game going to be like?
We're obviously hoping to have Jordan back in the lineup, so with that, I think it'll be a fast-paced game. Probably pretty chippy, just because we both know that we're both at the top of the league, and hope to smooth the ball pretty well, and working on our offense. They've totally gotten better throughout the season. But obviously, we need to make sure to get back on defense and help out Jimmy, and just make sure that we take the game to them and not the other way around.
And now last question here before I let you go. The rest of the season, it seems like it's been a very competitive league this year. I mean, you have two teams that are 3-2. You guys are 4-1. And even in share productivity, they are 0-5, but they've been pretty solid at times this season, and they have a pretty good roster. What do you foresee for the rest of the season?
I think those numbers are probably going to balance out a little bit. I like to think that our team probably has more or less the most talent on it, so I think if we play a good team together, that we should be able to win most of the games and hopefully win the league. I think that it speaks volumes for just the game itself, and obviously lacrosse is such a tight-knit community, and overall we're trying to grow the sport of box lacrosse as much as we can, so having talent on a variety of different teams and making the games enjoyable and just making it a competitive, fun season for everyone involved. I feel like that's the most important thing overall.
Now back here on LAX Live on the Lacrosse Radio Network, joining me is Tyler Midwinter from the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. Tyler, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So first, can you tell us a little bit about the Baltimore League and what your experiences playing in it are?
This is my first year in the league. I kind of found it through I actually just moved to the States in January. I'm from Ontario, and I got into the field lacrosse team down here, and I met a few friends down here that were playing in the league. And being from Ontario, I've grown up playing lacrosse here my entire life. So as soon as I heard about the summer pickup league that kind of led into the actual season, I was hooked. So I played the pickup league all summer, and then seeing how well it was run in the summertime, I threw that with my own team. And that's kind of how things got going.
And the team you're on, you mentioned Interproductivity, which is a new team. The team so far is 0-5, but it seems like games have been competitive, and it seems like you guys are getting better every game, and you have a lot of talent on that roster. What's it like playing with this team, and what do you expect for the rest of the year?
It's definitely been a learning curve for myself included. You know, I wouldn't call myself a coach per se, but I definitely have the most experience in the box game out of the whole team. A lot of these guys are, a lot of friends I've made down here are skilled players, and this is kind of their first thing to be capped with the box game, sorry. So like I said, there's been a learning curve, but we kind of have the sense that things are getting better and smoother as we go. Guys are learning the systems that are involved in the box game, because it's a very different game. There's a lot more physicality involved. There's a lot more turn and go, a lot more cutting. So in regards to expecting for the rest of the season, you know, we didn't have necessarily high expectations in regards to the win-loss column going into the season, you know, with everyone being so new to the league. We just wanted to see progress, we wanted to see growth, and we're definitely seeing that now, you know, getting some closer scores with some of the better teams in the league.
And this week, you guys, You're playing First Mariner, and First Mariner's been red hot. I believe they've won either two or three games in a row now. What are going to be the challenges of facing a team like that?
In my time here, my first games, my first few games in the league, you know, I've kind of had a chance to see every team. Every team except the team we're playing this week twice. It seems like this First Mariner team really knows how to play on the other side of the ball. They really have guys that kind of click. I don't know how long they've been playing together, but I've heard years figure out how to stop their O. I think they have the strongest O in the league, man for man. And I think it's about time we start learning how to play proper defense in the box game. And that'll be our biggest challenge is trying to handle that up.
And playing in Canada and playing in a Baltimore league, it must be very different as far as the level of play. And you mentioned players completely new to the box game. What are your experiences with playing in Canada? And do you feel like that it's helped you develop as a player and maybe become a mentor for some of these field players who are new to the game?
So I'm playing lacrosse for pretty much all my life since I didn't get my stick here. Put a stick in my hands when I was three. So, and you know, from Ontario, that's what you play first in the box game. So I've been playing box, you know, for 22 years now. It's obviously helped, you know, playing a box stick now down in the U.S. has obviously helped me play box my entire life. I mean, but trying to teach these other guys that I was playing with, the other friends that I put together on the team, I have my own experience. I played junior A, I played senior A. So, you know, I'm trying to pass off everything I've learned in my 22 years of lacrosse off to these guys. And it's tough, you know what I mean? Because you've got these guys who have grown up playing a completely different game their entire life. It's hard to get them out of their habits. You know, there's the dodging down the alley. They see you in the field game all the time. And, you know, these guys are trying to impose that onto the box game when you just can't do it with how tight the game is out there on the floor. You know, you got to stick to the middle. And that's definitely been a hard challenge, is to try to these American field players who are known for scoring goals in the U.S. game to kind of stay on the right side of the field and you know, use their stick skills instead of their speed.
And now, last question here before I let you go on your team and your productivity. Which players have stood out to you as the season has gone on from a development standpoint?
First and foremost, I think we have to go after our goalie. I mean, Pat Crosby, I think he sees about 50-60 shots a game, and you know, he's only put up 10 in a box game. That's stellar. From a player standpoint, let me see. Dwight Wilcox, this is his first time with a lacrosse stick, really, in his hand. He plays the D side of the floor. Just his tenacity that he's brought to the floor every day, you know, being a new player, doesn't really understand the game completely yet, but he, you know, he's trying his hardest to learn. I'm trying to think of some other guys. We've got a couple face-off guys that are facing off for us. Mike Richardson has really picked up things. You know, the speed of the game, I think, was a little new to him when he started, but he's playing extremely strong now. We got another guy in the back side, Kyle Wimbich. He's picking things up. It's not really about the individual guys, though. You know, I mean, we're trying to teach the game. We're trying to teach the game as a whole, and we're trying to get everyone to buy into the team mentality, though.
Well, Tyler, I really appreciate you joining the show, and best of luck the rest of the season and this upcoming week.
Thank you very much.